You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim, Jamal, and Zaylor back on the air. And as always, you guys, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening with us. We always really, truly do appreciate it. So we're here for another week of having some fun. What do you say, guys? Shout out.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Potts? What's up, my brother Z? How y'all doing, man?
Doing good. We're doing good. Happy to be here.
Hey, this, one thing about being on the show with Z, he always greets us with a smile every week, man. It's like it opens.
Why not? Up.
I love that.
Nothing wrong with that. Is that snow I see behind you out that window there, man?
Yes.
You guys have some, still have some serious snow out there. At any rate,
it's snowing a little bit today.
I'm sorry?
No, it's snowing a little bit today.
Yeah. Well, I just want to let you know it's 70 degrees out here, Zayla. So we're still waiting for you to come back for a visit, man.
Yeah, when those COVID numbers go down.
Yeah, they're well, hey, but you know what? Those numbers have been going down. Have you seen those numbers? Oh yeah.
Across the country, which is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're heading in the right direction, you guys. So the vaccines appear to be out there and it's happening. So we'll wait and see. You know, we're still waiting, you know, for it to drop. At any rate, this week we're going to be talking about the Gitmo. You know, Gitmo has been an issue for the last two administrations. Well, now there's three administrations, the last three administrations, about what to do with those prisons over there. So there's a lot of debate about that. We'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking about something else. I know we sent out an email blast on this, but it has to do with our cybersecurity as a nation. It's been breached. And the United States government 2 years ago under the Trump administration actually created an agency to be able to help, you know, ensure that our foreign adversaries cannot get to us. And primarily they think it's Russia and, of course, China. I know there's people out there that think China's not a threat to us, but, you know, and it's just not them. I'm sure there's other countries as well. But those are the two most publicized ones anyway. So we're going to be talking about that and a number of other things. And heck, whatever we decide that we might want to talk about, that's what we're going to do. All right. That's what makes the show so great. So sometimes we might be off script, so to speak, but we have our fun doing this. So it's all good. All right, Jamal, I understand you got a shout out. A blast rather. What's this blast?
I got both. I got a shout out and a blast this week, man. I want to say shout out to Lil Uzi Vert. Now, if y'all know who Lil Uzi Vert is, he's a rapper. I can't name one song he's ever done. But Lil Uzi Vert has implanted a $24 million pink diamond into his forehead. Now, man, he said he saved up for that. I'm glad he
saved,
that.
Saved up for it. Jamal, I've been saving, but I can tell you, I had all these years, I haven't gotten a $24 million where I can take it. I can just look at my stuff now, going to Brenda and talk about, I'm going to put a $24 million, a $5 diamond in my forehead.
I've been saving up for this cubic zirconian that I've had, that I'm going to plant in my forehead in the next 5 years or so, man. So look forward to that.
But a $24 million pink diamond?
$24 million pink diamond in his forehead, man. Mm. Hey, man. I don't know. It seemed like he asking for trouble, but when you a gangster, I guess it don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah, well, I hope he stays safe.
I hope he can afford the security with a $24 million in his forehead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then also, man, I kind of want to put on blast a little bit. Not a blast, but kind of a shout out to Marie Holmes. She was $188 million a lottery winner a few years ago. She's being sued by her ex-fiance, who's currently in prison serving 10 years right now.
Wait, did she win the money after he was in jail? She
won it before he was in jail.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, that $188 million that she won could not persuade him to stop selling drugs. So he's serving the 10-year sentence right now, and he's suing because she spent $250,000 on a Chevy Stingray. Chevy Stingray that was worth $250,000, $125,000 for a dump truck, for two dump trucks for them, $100,000 in clothes and jewelry, $600,000 in an automotive shop she bought for him, and $80,000 in 77 acres of land that she purchased for him. Now, he's mad and suing because since he's on a 10-year, doing a 10-year bid right now, she gave all that stuff away, and he's upset about that. So he's suing her because for giving away her stuff while he's
Jamal, with her having that kind of money. Well, you know what? He's gonna be able. He's gonna be able to find an attorney, even though he's in jail. Because if you got that much money, look at Zella shaking his head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody's gonna be working on a contingency to get some of that money. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
I don't know if Marie Holmes is listening to our show right now, but I'm just saying, if you need a good man right now, I am available currently. You can call me at.
But that's okay, Jamal. Yeah, 777, call me, right.
No, 777-9311. Give your boy a call. I cook. I can hire somebody to clean.
All right, Jamal. The purpose of being on the air, son, is not for personal ads, so, you know.
Hey, brother.
I got one blast that I want to do. You know, let's not forget the people in Texas, you guys, what they went through this week, actually. And and I just thought about this as a blast. We got Ted Cruz. You know, Ted Cruz, as we all know, is a senator from Texas. And, you know, look, it got cold down there. I got family down there, you know. And I was actually in contact with one of my cousins down there, and he was telling me that they were without heat, and it was 1 degrees. And he said and as a matter of fact, he and I were roommates at Howard. And he said he was crying uncle. He said it got real cold down there. And here Ted Cruz jumping on some plane, okay, and heading out to Cancun of all places. Now, look, he's got two daughters. He fell back on his two daughters saying, hey, you know, Dad, we're out of school and this and that and this and that. But the reality is image is very important. He's a senator. Even if he had sent his family down there, okay, I think he should have hung, you know, for the duration. You know, and you know, so I'm gonna put him on blast for that. Jamal, are you gonna say something?
Let me ask you a question. What y'all want the man to do? Go shovel everybody's driveway? You know what I'm saying? Look, here's the thing, man. And let's be honest. If the president of the United States was in any kind of trouble where his gas is being shut off, his water's being shut off, he's gonna be evacuated, right? The man is not the governor of the state. He's not the mayor of the cities that's frozen under. You know what I mean? I'm not mad at him, man. I got to be consistent. When you got a plug or a hookup and it's time to get away, I get it. You know what I mean? Who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, Jamal, you heard what I said. It's image. I'm talking about the image. Look, if I had two kids, I may have done the same thing, Jamal, okay? So that's one thing. And I agree with you. You made a very good point. You said he's not the governor. It's true. The governor's the one that's got the responsibility. But, Jamal, he could have faked it. He could have turned around and went to Washington, D.C. and said, you know what? I'm going to D.C. I'm going to make sure they get all the
where there's water and heat and electricity.
Yeah.
You know, the problem that I have with Ted Cruz on this is that you throw your wife and kids under the bus. That I don't respect.
Well, they were the first ones he threw under the bus.
Yeah. Right. My wife wanted to go to Cancun, so I couldn't say no. And the kids is out on spring break. That part I don't respect.
Jamal, let's hear from Zella. Zella, what do you think?
I heard it was some of the neighbors that ratted him out because they were like, oh, can you check in on the dog? I was like, they were going to leave the dog?
Well, he got the dog in the
Yeah, the water's off and everything. But no, it's bad all around. There's no way he should have left. You know, if the wife and kids could have gone, he should have stayed right there.
He should have got some blankets and hunkered down and did whatever he had to do.
Get on the phones. Do whatever he needs to do. Do what some of the other elected folks did. Raise money. You know, do whatever you know what I mean? He can't rail against being against the elites and then doing exactly what an elitist person would do. Go to the Ritz-Carlton in Cancun.
No, I got nothing to say, Zeller. You know, I hear you loud and clear, brother. Like, so, it didn't have to be the Ritz. It could have been
a snooty fox in another state.
And the rates were really good. I think the rates were like $300-something a night. I was like, ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but come on now. That's a good rate. Where was
that's
that?
What I said.
Hey, let's move on, guys. Let's get off Cruz's back, okay? We know he messed up. Let's look at these emails. Jim. I know you have discussed Biden wanting to push the minimum wage to $15. What is not being discussed is the impact of an increase on payroll taxes. As a business owner, what are your thoughts, Carol? She didn't say where she was from. Carol, I hear you loud and clear. I pay, you know, these payroll taxes are a killer. You know, employees don't understand that part of the business, but payroll taxes is to the federal government. There's a certain amount we pay to the state governments. You know, you start pushing up to $15 an hour, that increases the payroll. So when the payroll goes up, so do the payroll taxes. And you guys may not have an appreciation of this, but believe me when I tell you, that's an expensive venture, every payroll that employers have to pay. Now, some people may look at that and say, well, you know, you're the employer. They think all employers are filthy rich because they're employers. That's not the case. Not the case at all. You know, Zale or Jamal, you guys know with the company, we've talked about payroll taxes. Go ahead, Jamal.
I agree because, you know, some of the Kroger locations in California had to shut down, particularly one in Long Beach. Because, you know, during the pandemic, they added that essential worker fees that went up. And when you do a 30% increase of payroll taxes, it put them out of business and they had to close down locations. You know what I mean? So that was like overnight. That wasn't even over a year period of time where you had a warning to adjust. So, no, those things are detrimental to businesses, especially the mom and pop companies.
I will say, Zale, I'll let you jump in this in a second, but I will say under the Trump administration, he did help businesses with some taxes. I know Biden's going to roll some of that back. Look, I'm not criticizing Biden for rolling it back. Biden's got a job to do as well. So when a new guy comes in, they get to make certain decisions. And, you know, you live with the decisions. That's all. And we'll see what ends up happening with that. But yeah, payroll taxes, Carol, you're absolutely right. Zale, weigh in on that. What's your opinion?
No, I definitely know that the payroll taxes are significant. But the challenge is you know, the federal minimum wage hasn't gone up for at least 12 years, more than that.
Yeah.
Here's the question that I have. And Jim, you've been an employer for a long time. So this is a question for you. I mean, there's never a time when employers are happy that minimum wage goes up, right? I mean, is there ever a time when employers are happy that minimum wage goes up?
Well, as you said, Z, I have been in business for a long time. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I've never argued about the minimum wage, okay, for me personally. But my business is the type of business that's a little bit different, okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody who works for me, okay, makes less than $15 an hour anyway, okay? So I really don't care. But we have over 300 clients on a national basis, and some of those are, you know, fast food, you know, the restaurants, things of that nature. And that does make a big difference. We got some people weighing in on this, guys. One person wrote in and says wages go up and so does everything around it. Food, gas, shipping. And we realize that food, gas, shipping, everything to cover the expense, fewer jobs due to the added expense. Another one came in and said, that $15 an hour is not all at once. It would be done in increments over a few years. Yeah, allowing businesses to adjust. And I'm aware of that as well. Zale, I agree with you that, and I agree with both of these people that just wrote in, that, yeah, I realize that the $15 now is going to be incremental. You know, when Biden was running for office, that's not necessarily what he said. People voted for him based on thinking the $15 was just going to be that way. But people don't realize that when you actually get in that position, you have to start looking, compromising, and things of that nature in fairness to Biden. Okay, so it is going to be incremental, and that's not a new process. Zale or Jamal, you guys know in California they did it on an incremental basis, and I think the $15 mark for California might be next year. So there's some states that are already moving in that direction. But getting back to what you were saying, also Zale. You know, there's some industries out there, $15 an hour, and you're right. The federal minimum wage, I think, is what, only $7.25?
It's so low. Like
that. Yeah. It's very low. But you said 12 years, so it makes me wonder how come—
It might be longer than that.
How come during the other administrations, matter of fact, you know, during the other administrations that came along, why was this issue not addressed previously? One has to wonder. So I don't know, you know.
I mean, one thing that really quick, because I know that one of the the people that were writing in was like the fact that, you know, if you increase the wages, then the cost of the products are going to go up. But we have to look at it the other way too. The cost of everything has gone up, right? Every year, I mean, the cost of all these items, these items that you need to be able to survive and live go up as well. And the issue is that the wage hasn't kept up with that, at least from the cost of living perspective. Jamal?
Well, that depends on what state you live in also.
That's true.
There's some states that are still have a very low minimum wage where, you know what I mean? So where it can hit them, the price of their products go up, it can hit those states a lot harder in those areas.
Well, that's very true. Well, cost of living is lower in every other state.
It always goes back to the consumer. There's no two ways about it. I mean, it's going to go back to the consumer, you know. But I agree that there's some places $15 an hour, guys. Money is cheap. I mean, it all flows downhill, so to speak. Another person just texted in that if you want to make more money, start your own company. You see how hard it is. Which is true. It is
tough. The gospel on Sunday.
You better be self-employed. That way you won't sue yourself.
You know, so, it's going to be tough. There's no two ways about it. We got somebody else that just weighed in, but they weighed in on something else. And I always like to read this. It says, everyone is on Gascon over pro-criminal attitude regarding dropping enhancements. Now Berkeley Senator pushing SB 81, law justifying and mandating dropping enhancements, and SB 82, eliminating strong-arm robbery as a felony. I can't see doing that. We'll come back to that. Excuse me. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know. We'll just wait and see what happens on that note. And, payroll taxes, like we say, you know, there's definitely a consideration. Some of these smaller fast food companies aren't going to be able to afford it. Now, somebody else is texting in, $15 per hour will soon be the new poverty wages, then justify $20 an hour as the new demanded minimum wage. The float will not last more than a year. No, it's true. It's like when you turn around and somebody says, Zeller, I need a raise. And you say, okay, how much would you like? Well, take me to $20 an hour. If I take you to $20 an hour, are you going to be happy with that? Absolutely. A year from now, what do they say? I need another raise. That's just how it works. So, you know, but again, I think we're all in agreement that to a certain extent, you know, there has to be an adjustment to the federal minimum wage. It's $7.25 or $7.50. I think there needs to be an adjustment to that, but certainly not mandating, you know, $15 an hour all across the board. I think we're in agreement on that. So, another person just texted, they want to make money. They already put that in there about starting something else. Okay. All right. Let's keep moving. Let's look at the second email. All right. Carol, I hope we've answered your question. I think we've worked it, to be honest with you.
Taking up all our time.
You know, Jim, as a Biden supporter, I am extremely disappointed that he just issued new ICE guidance, wholly abandoning his pledge to halt deportations. Even the ACLU is disappointed that he failed in his commitment to fully break from the harmful deportations policies of Trump and Obama. This is just another example of a lying politician to get elected. And that's from Gene. He's out of San Francisco, and he's a Biden supporter. Well, Zeller and I talked about this one. Well, Zeller, let me let you weigh in a little bit first, and then I'll come back to it.
The thing is I haven't tracked exactly what was in the ICE language that he indicated, but one thing that I did track that I found was interesting is that I know that Biden indicated during the campaign that there were a lot of things that he was going to do on day one. He was going to sign all these executive orders, and it appears as though what he's doing is once that cabinet secretary is confirmed by the Senate, then that's when he's moving on the corresponding executive orders that address that particular issue. So I don't believe that we've gotten that secretary, confirmed yet through the Senate. So it might be a wait and see from that perspective. But you know, it'll be interesting to track. One thing I want to make sure that I say, and this is not, and this, and Biden would be a different, would be different in regard to this perspective, but folks who have never, you know, been president or vice president don't necessarily know what it all entails until you get there. And then you're actually, you know, faced with the facts on the ground and the challenges. But he was vice president before. So these are discussions and that were already there that he was already part of. So it'll be interesting to track what happens with this.
Well,
if
you know,
it's something where it just needs some time in order to be able to make the necessary changes or what, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I turned around and I got, I went to the ACLU website to, mm-hmm. you know, to see, yeah, you know, cause sometimes people write things in. So we got to do our research to make sure that they're being accurate. And this is what's on the website. It says the memo is a I guess he put a memo out. It's a disappointing step backwards from the Biden's administration earlier commitment to fully break from the harmful deportation policies of both the Trump administration and Obama policies. While the Biden administration rightfully acknowledges that immigrants are our family members, our coworkers, our neighbors, for now it has chosen to continue giving ICE officers significant discretion to conduct operations that harm our communities and tear families apart. That's right off the ACLU. Now, I did a little bit more reading on this, and basically, I don't necessarily 100% agree with Eugene, because what I understand is that he gave ICE a narrowed the decision making in terms of the deportations. And what he was saying was that the people that are all of a sudden get caught coming over, when he said, hey, now is not the time to come over here like that, they get deported. So that's an impact for some people, as opposed to this 25,000 who have been waiting. So I think that's where there's some flexibility in terms of what Biden is trying to do, you know, in all fairness. And I agree with Zayla. It's true. When you get in office, you don't know everything. But I mean, Zayla, another issue is he's writing executive orders like they're going out of style. I mean, so I don't know how much time these guys have had. It's like what amount of time as fast as the guy's writing. I mean, his the policy we're talking about right now is 353 pages. How in the hell did he write 353?
Well, you know they've been working on this.
Oh, yeah.
Them executive orders are already drafted and ready to go.
Right. It's true.
And we've all been fighting, and they've been working on this immigration package reform thing, then trying to get it through Congress for many administrations, too.
I never seen a president yet that has that smooth of a transition. So for him to be in there from January to February and you expected it to go that smooth, come on, man. It takes time. It takes a process. This is not opening the doors to Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? It's a process, and it's a stepping process. We all are concerned about the humanitarian needs of our neighbors next door, but things have to be done in an orderly process for safety reasons. And for humanitarian reasons, make sure these people can get fed, medical attention. There's a lot to go into.
But Jamal, would you also say, and what you're saying is correct, but would you also say, here's the problem, is that the Latino community or the black and brown community, so to speak, because some of these people are also Haitians, you know, mm-hmm. so people are coming over and things. Now, I think that that part of this, Jamal, we have to remember, and Zeller, is that he made mm-hmm. these campaign promises are the problem. These guys, when they're running, they'll give a blanket statement, and they don't always go into the deep dive about some of this, all right? So if they just make a statement, they're standing up there making these speeches, they're talking about 20 different things at once, and they're not doing a deep dive, people are going to get the wrong impression, you know, without further, you know, investigation, without further research. Zayla, would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think that there are people that believe that there would be zero deportations, right? Nobody's going to be deported if they get here. And that's just not going to be reality in any type of situation.
We got somebody that texted in and says you can't eliminate deportations. There will always be a need to deport some people for various reasons. And that is true. You know, so I don't think anybody should have, be held to their feet to the fire. And I agree with you, Zayla. Once people get in office, they've got political pressures from even from their own base, their own constituency. I mean, there's a lot more entailed to this, and we get it.
Well, here's the thing. He was part of the Obama administration, and we know that Obama actually deported more people than any other president in U.S. history. So what exactly did you expect? You know what I mean? So I'm not quite sure where that person was going with that. But he's part of an administration that deported more people than anybody else. So they couldn't expect this to be an overnight miracle and success in just a month's time.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem is what people... I'm sorry, Jamal.
It's a process. Every politician over-exaggerates what they can do in the beginning in the first 30 days. We have
first 100 days.
Hunzi?
First 100 days is always this thing. Like, if you can't get it done in the first 100 days, that they think that nothing, then you're not going to be able to make anything happen.
Personally, Zeke, you know what? I've been a big critic of Biden, as you know. Mm-hmm. And so far, actually, I've liked a number of things that he's done so far. You know what I mean? And that's coming from somebody who's been a major critic.
I know they major critic.
You know what I mean? We've had those arguments.
We have, but off so camera. Far,
things that I like what he's doing so far. Mm-hmm. Mr. Potts?
Listen, here's the deal. The deal is, like we said, everybody's under the gun when they get there. It's absolutely all going to change, blah, 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 blah. My laptop just went out because I didn't plug it in, so I got somebody bringing me my cord for the laptop. So anybody sending me a message on my, you know, the other way, just has to hold up a second. But anyway, getting back to what we're saying here, let's move on and let's take a look at this third one, Jim. And some of these discussions, by the way, are a lot better. Even some of the topics sometimes that we do, we get so far into this. Yeah, but anyway, let's move on, Jim. Did you hear about Montana signing into law that citizens can carry and don't need a CCW? Our country is becoming gun crazy. Plug it in down there. It's becoming gun crazy. This is getting out of hand. Do you agree? And that's Susan from Bakersfield. Jamal, why don't you address that? Because we talked about this beforehand.
Hey, and it's Susan from Bakersfield. It's Montana, population of 5,000 people in the whole state. Here's the thing that'd be kind of surprising to a lot of people. There's actually 31 states in the United States out of the 50 that actually has no law restricting people, citizens, to actually have open carry gun laws, whether that be handguns or long guns. And there's another 15 additional states that requires permits that allows you to have open carry weapons. This is not new. Guns is the fabric of America. It is. It's the Second Amendment after the first one. Like, you know what I mean? So this is nothing new, and there's nothing wrong with it. It hasn't been a major crisis. I think there's some adjustments done in places like New York City, Los Angeles, and things like that, where you have to be a little bit more restrictive with some of these gun laws. But it's Montana, for God's sake.
Well, you know, one of the things, Jamal, but one of the things they also passed with this was that politicians can now carry guns, okay? And also, and they don't need a CCW. And also, anybody with a CCW can go into state buildings as well. So it's right. It's more than that than just, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because most of the 31 states, if not all 31 states in the 15 that allows you to carry, a lot of those restrictions are for private property and also federal buildings. So you can't just walk into courthouses like out here in California, for one, with any kind of weapon or anything like that. So there are those restrictions. So let me be clear about that. But I know that there's some states, you know, where people who work there and the government officials can be allowed to carry. And personally, after seeing what happened on January 6th with the attempted coup, I think those politicians...
Yeah, stop calling it an attempted coup. That wasn't no attempted coup. They didn't have any leader. That somehow they were going to go in there and they were going to take over.
They didn't have a leader?
And they were going to take over the government and then charge of the United States.
Well, let's say this.
One successful coup in this country, Jamal. Do you guys know what it was?
Somebody there with the firearm to stop somebody from crawling through the window.
There's been one successful coup in this country, guys. You guys know when it was? It was in the 1800s, and it was actually in a city in South Carolina, where after the Civil War, a lot of the blacks were being put in charge of the political structure, and basically is what happened was the whites went in there and they took everything back because they were being pushed to the side. So there's right. been one successful coup in this country, in a city, but then they actually physically took over everything. Right. Not just, you know, demonstrate. Well, and I'm not justifying January 6th.
No, I know you're not justifying it, but the only reason why I call it a coup is because they went in there talking about let's hang Mike Pence, and it was going after looking for Nancy Pelosi. So those things like that, and I'm not blaming anybody in particular, but that's what happened when a mob of people tried to take over the Capitol building. But anyway, I was glad somebody was there that was armed and put a stop to all of that, because all of a sudden it got quiet and everybody turned around and walked out the building.
But, you know, he said when the shots start going off, everybody's gone is the bottom line. Did you guys hear about what happened in Louisiana yesterday? In Louisiana, they had a guy that goes into a gun store and starts shooting, kills two people, wounds two others, and he goes outside. And now remember, this is a gun store. What do you think happened to this guy? The patrons of the gun store, okay, got into a gun battle with the guy and killed the guy. Now, if you're going to go someplace and shoot someplace else, why are you going to go into an environment where everybody's got guns?
I've always said this, man. Open carry laws is a very good law to have, man, because just think, if a bank robber is going to go into a bank and 30 people standing in line are all armed, guess what? He's not going to rob that bank. Most of these thieves or robbers are cowards.
Okay.
They want the easy targets, the soft targets. They don't want a chance to be shot back at.
Jamal, you sound like Archie Bunker. You guys remember All in the Family?
Mm-hmm.
My boy Archie on All of the Family was interviewed on the show on TV on the show, though. Okay. And the reason he was interviewed, we lost Zeller, I think. You're there? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the reason why he was interviewed was because Archie said he had a way on how to stop hijackings. Now, that show was back in the, 70s or something. There was hijackings going on. And Archie got on there and said, I know how to get rid of hijackers. We don't have to worry about it anymore. And the newscaster said, well, how, Mr. Bunker? How would we get rid of hijacking? He says, what you do, he said, is arm all the passengers as they're getting on the plane. And then collect the guns on the way off.
Oh, my God.
I love All in the Family, man. Those were good TV days, man. Now we're kind of in a more soft society, man. That kind of stuff can't fly today.
But anyway. Oh, yeah. You know, back in the, but now because of everything that he said on that show back and then, that show would not last now. Let's address somebody that sent something in also. It says, if you enforce immigration laws, the only humanitarian penalty is deportation to make illegals do it legally. And that's always going to be the argument. Why don't you just come in legally? Well, you know, some people can't wait. You know, this situation is so desperate that these are desperate people. You got people that have been sitting across the border for a year now. More than that, you know, waiting to get in. So I don't know. This is always going to be an issue. And let me tell you something. As you guys know, I'm writing a new book. And this week I was doing some research in the 1800s. And guess what? The issue in there with one of the presidential elections was the fact that the loser claimed that he lost the election through fraudulent voting. This was in 1855, guys, okay? And one of the things that they were talking about is one of the issues, believe it or not, immigration. This is always going to be around. It's always going to be around. So it is what it is. So the business about the guns, there's always going to be an issue. I got one more text message here to check out. And it says for later in the program, Biden is considering an executive order to ban assault weapons. He's also mentioned a buyback program. This concern to many is banned. Yeah, to this person, we discussed that last week, as a matter of fact. So we're not going to get deep into that this week. We went through all of that last week, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you sending in the message, but it was talked about last week. And if you want more information on that, please refer back to the show last week. Okay. I think we've worn our emails out. Those are always fun. What is this business about Gitmo, guys? You know, the Gitmo started out, and for you, those of you who don't know, Gitmo is a place that's actually in Cuba. We rent this space from the Cuban government, believe it or not, and it's where we keep high profile what we call prisoners of war. All right, so this is really people of Middle Eastern descent that had to do with, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan and other issues against terrorism, you know, globally as well as against us. So they're housed there. Now, the Gitmo numbers in terms of the prisoners there, it was up like to 500 or something, you know, some number like that. It was a lot. And during the Obama administration, and possibly some before, some of these people have been released, okay? The arguments against releasing these people is that they are going to go back, and there's proof of this, that they go back and jump back in there with their terrorist organizations, so they haven't been, you know, deprogrammed, so to speak. These are people who have feelings in the heart, okay? A lot of them, they feel it's based on their religion. They're not going to just be deprogrammed. So what do you do with them? Now, one of the guys that's there is the mastermind behind 9/11. So now it's down to 40 people. I don't know if I said that or not. It's down to 40 prisoners now. And one of them is the mastermind behind 9/11. All right? To me, I don't care if he never sees the light of day. A whole lot of people died as a result of that. We went to war behind that, you know, in the Middle East. And we've had soldiers that have been killed, you know, behind this as well. So I don't know. Why don't you guys weigh in about this business of Gitmo? Do we get rid of it? What do we do? Zeller, I'll let you go first.
Well, I mean, if we're supposed to be a nation of laws, then that's what we should be focusing on. And I know that that's been part of the argument in regards to Gitmo, is that we're indefinitely detaining people. And if our whole thing is, if this guy's the mastermind of 9/11, put him on trial, right? And let the people of the United States, make, you know, through the jury, come up with a verdict as it relates to that. And that's I think that's the main problem. At least I know that that's part of the main problems I have with Gitmo, is that, especially being an attorney, it's like, then we should try them. That's what we do in this country. We don't detain people forever. And the one thing I want to make sure I throw out is, even John McCain, when he was running for president, who was a prisoner of war himself, was for the closing of Gitmo. And so, you know, there's definitely some bipartisan aspects to it. And in my research, it appears as though, you know, that there are folks in the government, right, the Pentagon and the Defense Department and stuff, that don't want to give up this, you know, space that they believe is free from them having to comply with U.S. laws and things like the Geneva Convention, where they can engage in certain type of tactics to be able to extract information that could be viewed as being unlawful or inhumane based on international law.
Well, let's just be clear. I'm sorry, Jamal, I got to address one thing Zayla said first, okay? Let's just be clear, a couple of things. One, the reason why we have Gitmo and these people aren't in maximum security prisons here is because Gitmo is outside, okay, of the United States. So the argument has been, the reason why they're not afforded the same kind of rights, okay, is because they're not here, okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is, they're not citizens. Not that, you know, as you know, Zayla, from law school, there's certain rights afforded to people that still aren't citizens, okay? But the other thing is that these people are considered prisoners of war. Prisoners of war, okay, are not put in a civil tribunal to determine, you know, who they are.
There's ways for them to get tried.
Can I finish my point? Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm just telling you what the arguments have been. Before you come back, Zayla, let's hear from Jamal.
No, I agree with Zayla 100%. If we're going to hold them as prisoners of war, then let them stand trial. We've seen other countries that have done that, like when Saddam Hussein was actually tried and hung. I know that wasn't in the American courts, but if they have committed some great atrocity or crime towards America, then they should stand trial. And we have things like the death penalty that we could do. There's no sense in holding these people there for all that time. It's either we're going to try them, and if they found guilty, then do what we have to do and eliminate them. Otherwise, there's things you could do. I mean, we've had like people who commit crimes out here and they on probation, we give them the ankle bracelets. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Tracking devices. So if y'all want to insert some of these people that y'all want to let go with tracking devices, we have technology to do that too.
Okay, Jamal. I almost fell out of my chair. Do you think giving that guy who's going to go back into the Middle East, okay, and probably mastermind other deals against us, that he's going to have an ankle bracelet on that we're going to be able to go over there and get him and say, okay.
I didn't say bracelet on him because clearly he'll cut it off, but there's other ways of inserting tracking devices and people.
Zayla, come on back. I know you had
something. I just saw that part of the trouble, when I believe Obama was trying to close him was that nobody wanted these folks in their backyard, right? They're like, I don't want them in my prison, in my neighborhood, in my community. And the other thing is like trying to get some of these people back to their country. Right. So there were some folks that were, Chinese Muslims that got swept up in regards to, all of this stuff and were in Guantanamo, and then China didn't want them back. And so they're like, so then where do they go? And so they're just kind of stuck here in limbo. I just look at it as is having Gitmo open. Is that something that's going to put our troops in more in harm's way? Because if we're going to use this as a justification to be able to say, well, it's not on our land, it's somewhere else, so then we don't have to comply with international law, why wouldn't other countries do the same if they end up acquiring some of our troops? Go ahead, Jamal.
No, that right there tells you that there's something shady going on, that you don't even want to try them on our own soil if you find these people guilty and you rather do it somewhere on Guantanamo Bay. That right there is kind of shady to me. You know what I mean?
Okay,
Either these people are guilty or they not. Let them stand trial or not. Do something with them. Don't just hold people for the rest of their life. Let's find them either guilty or innocent. That's what our country is founded on. So let's stand by those principles.
Well, Jamal, I think there's a couple of things here. One is that where are you going to try them? New York City? First of all, these guys are maximum security prisoners. Okay, they're going to be tried in a court, let's just say, in New York City. Okay, don't you think that people that are sensitive to who this person is, that that's going to create one monster of a security risk for one thing? People may try to come in there to free him. There's a lot of issues associated with that. Yeah. All right, it's not just that simple. And the other thing is, Zayla, you're right on the mark when you talk about why they have them there. Look, they have them there because they're extracting information. Okay, the information that they're just trying to extract. I mean, I've got, you guys know that I have my different security sites that I go to. And I'm telling you, they are extracting information that from their perspective, they're trying to make this country safer. Now, there's a couple of different views with that. You know how I'm into all this international domestic terrorism. To me, I don't personally care about his rights, okay? He killed all of those people, okay? They have him over there to try to get information from him. And it's my opinion, I don't care what they do to him with the information. He's not an American citizen. He's a prisoner of war, okay? And he created an atrocity, against this country. So I don't really care what they do. Now, I don't know about the other 39, okay? But they're all top-level security people that are on the terrorist side that have brought issues, in terms of harming Americans. And to me, that comes first. Go ahead, Z.
At the maximum time, they had 779 people there, and it was costing the United States government $445 million to run Guantanamo.
Right. That's a lot of money.
And some of those folks were 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that were swept up and then kept there for 12 years. Do you need 12 years to be able to extract relevant information from them?
12-year-olds are stubborn. I'm telling you, I had two of those guys, okay? And 12-year-olds are stubborn as hell. All right. Look, those are juveniles, in my opinion.
Jamal raised his share.
Yeah, right, exactly. But look, they're 12 years old. I don't know what they did, but I can tell you this. I just got a text message that guy did confess, okay? So there's no trial for somebody that confessed, okay? That's the first thing.
Remember some of the tactics that they were using? But would you confess if somebody was waterboarding you?
Okay,
there's
come on.
That too.
Wait a minute. Some of these people take pride in what they've done. When I was in terrorist school, let me just tell you something, guys, and I still have a bunch of, I'll just say things, okay? Videos, pictures. Very graphic. These people, they want you to know they did this. They're held in high esteem. So when you say he confessed, that guy didn't have to be waterboarded to confess. He's proud of what he did because in his mind, from a religious standpoint, he's going to see Allah for the work that he did. Okay? So I don't disagree with you that they do waterboarding and things like that. In his particular case, in my opinion, they didn't have to do anything. He's the guy. I did it. So what? You see, they didn't kill him.
Let me tell you something. Whoever wrote that email or text message, you get waterboarded for 5 minutes, I guarantee you get to confessing the things you ain't never did a day in your life.
Waterboarding? You know? Have you ever just swallowed water wrong and it went down the wrong way?
True.
But that's what I'm saying. Now, see, we saying that this guy was the mastermind. Okay, cool. You guys got all that.
That should be real easy for them to prove it.
We should stand trial. You know, we have to, you know, by the way, Rikers Island, from what I understand, is not a cakewalk either. You know what I mean? So, you know, we have things like, what's the one in San Francisco that was closed down?
Alcatraz?
Oh, Alcatraz. I'm sorry. Well, we got San Quentin up there, and we also have Alcatraz.
Yeah, Alcatraz has been shut down. Let's hold them up there till they stand trial. This place.
Come on, Alcatraz is no place. That's a tourist attraction now.
Reopen Alcatraz. I saw the rock.
Do you know what it would take, Jamal, to reopen Alcatraz? First of all, we got to throw all the tourists out, for one thing. Okay, and get rid of the souvenir shops. But but Jamal, we have maximum security places. The places where some of these guys that did like the Oklahoma bombing and some of these other guys, the Boston Marathon bomber.
Boston Marathon.
Right.
Yeah, these guys are out in the maximum security.
But
in
that's
Colorado or someplace.
We have even more places we can put people. Have you ever visited Death Valley? There's nothing out there. Build a 10x10 facility out there and hold them hostage until they stand trial.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's plenty of options that they could do other than Guantanamo.
Well, the people that live in that area, Jamal, believe me when I tell you, they're going to kick and scream, and we live in America, and they're going to kick and scream, and there's going to be all kind of litigation about don't put those people by
there's
us.
There's nobody living in Death Valley.
Death Valley, and there's 10 people out there.
Well, that all may be true, but look, Biden will do. I mean, look. Biden is going to look into it. I don't know. You know, I don't know that they're going to release some of these people. I don't think they're ever going to let them go. Okay. I think we're all in agreement on one thing. I think you need to do something. Okay.
Right.
And I don't think any of us disagree with that. It's just what to do with these people. Cutting them loose is not just, I mean, just plain cutting them loose is probably not going to be an option.
Okay? From what I understand, isn't it like only 40 people left there?
Yeah, it's 40. That's what I said.
Come on, man. That's an apartment building.
We can figure it out.
Okay, well, we'll get to put them in an apartment building out there by where you live, Jamal, and we'll put you in charge of it. You could be the manager. Look, one of the things that I wanted to mention, and as usual, you know, we're running without time, but that's okay because this is actually going to segue into next week. The 2 years ago, under the Trump administration, because of the cybersecurity breaches, et cetera. The United States created the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency. So I'm going to repeat that in case anybody wants to look it up. The United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency. All right. Its nickname is CISA. All right. The reason why they did that, and that was in November of 2018. The reason why they did that was because the United States had seen that the United States adversaries were increasingly targeting civilian government and corporate networks, as well as the critical infrastructure such as the energy grid, to attack and to hack. Okay, now we all know about these hackers that are out there. So they feel that our foreign adversaries have breached, have a tendency to breach these things. So they created this agency 2 years ago. The Republicans and the Democrats are both on the same page with this. So we're going to see how this is. Now I will tell you that when one of my high school classmates, he was the chairman of the Chief Joints of Staff, General Marty Dempsey. He was the Chief Joints of Staff under the he was the chairman under the Obama administration. And Brenda and I flew out there and visited with him and his wife at Fort Myers. Marty told me way back then that the biggest issue for us to be concerned about, cybersecurity, cyber attacks. So this is something that this country is going to have to deal with. There's too many hackers going on out there. Next week, we're going to be talking about fraud. There's a lot of government fraud things going on. We're going to be giving you guys some good safety tips next week. Don't miss next week on how to protect yourself from some of these scams that are out there. What's happening with these scams with the government. One of the people we're going to be talking about. Remember the movie Catch Me If You Can?
I love that movie, yeah.
Okay, that guy was on the air not too long ago telling people how to avoid some of these basic scams about, getting their IDs and things of that nature. So we'll be talking about some of that. It's probably going to take up just about the full session next week, other than the details, of course. So we'll just wait and see. So if you're listening this week, pass the word. There's going to be some good tips next week in terms of how to protect yourselves from this. And we've done some things on the show before regarding that as well. All right, guys. Hey, I think we had a great time as usual. We're getting ready to sign off here. Do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Till next week, be safe. Sign off, guys.
Hey, I just want to say one more time, Marie Holmes, 777-9311. You know, I know you won the lottery. I'll treat you good. Just give me a call.
Jamal, you better get on eHarmony, brother. Go ahead, Zell.
Big ups to everybody out there helping each other out in Texas. We're watching. We're there for you. Hope people are surviving.
All right. Take care, everybody. Until next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.